Boys.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Welcome in, everyone. I am Dave. That is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society, and this is Penetrating the Veil, the one-hour interactive internet radio show hosted by Live Paranormal. Thank you for that. Welcome in, Tony, Mike Lauk, James Houston, Mike Simpson. How are you? Tonight's guest will be calling in about 5 or 10 minutes. That will be Pamela Berry. Possibly with a Steve Berry sighting in there. They are the host and hostesses and live-in proprietors of the Historic Lookout House in Ashburn, Pennsylvania. They are also the owners of the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, or one-stop shop for all things paranormal. And there will be a grand reopening of the new space, next week? Next weekend?
Yeah, it is.
Next weekend, the 7th, I believe. So, and I do believe we're going to try and make it over there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, they are now no longer in the big red building down by the pike, but they are actually in town in the same building along with Mark Nesbitt and his Ghosts of Gettysburg location. We have yet to be there, but we've heard good things about it because it's right on the main strip in the center of town. They're going to get a lot more foot traffic, I believe, and they've got a lot more space from what I've been told. So,
and they're also going to be doing some equipment rentals.
Equipment rentals for people who are coming into town and want to rent some equipment to go out and investigate a few places. So we're going to try and stop by that, but they're calling in tonight to talk about the Lookout House because Saturday we will be doing an investigation there, a joint investigation with our good friends from Paranormal Inc., Ernie and Dave. So,
do you know Paley's plan on?
I've been talking with her today. She had agreed to do something over in York with that Reliance that used to be the. But she thinks she can manage to do both because the Reliance thing starts at about 6:30, and she said the event goes till 10, but she wouldn't be there till then. So she thinks she might be able to pull off both. So, welcome, and speak of the devil, there is Haley. Welcome in. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Jerry. So that's the plan as of right now. You know, things are apt to change, I guess. Holly Toller, welcome in. So, you know, that's the plan. I know I personally am going over to the Lookout House early on Saturday, because I have some things I need to work on over there for a class project.
Well, let me know any particular pieces of equipment you want. When I get back from the hospital tomorrow, which I don't know when that will be, but I'll make sure. I've got a lot of stuff charging up. But if there's anything particular, I got to know if you were running the solo X's or things.
I'll absolutely be taking solo X's.
Okay.
I'll absolutely be taking the RD2.
Yeah, that's charging.
Okay. I'd like to take the new plasma ball.
That is cool as hell. I did. The kids, I wanted to share the girls tonight.
Welcome in Susan, Becky, Linda, Christina, Kathy. Welcome in all of
them. That's wild. And you can see if spirit touches it, it charts out the lines in the balls.
Okay.
Stuff. It's really wild. So you can definitely tell if anybody or anything touches that ball. It really does react. It's got two buttons. The left is simply an on and off. You just hold it. The right puts music to it. So that can be another
trigger.
Yeah. So you can play without the music, obviously. They're going to be sending me in a new one to replace the one that was broke.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I think the basic lamp still works. So if I can get another 8-inch globe to fit over it, I'm going to have three then.
Well, does the lamp is still in the base?
No.
The only thing that's broken is the globe. Everything else is intact and functioning.
Yeah.
Like you powered on and hit the power button and it lit up.
And those globes are delicate. That's the only thing I don't like.
Okay.
And I want to try to rig something up a little better than the box it's in.
Welcome in, Alicia.
Transporting.
Well, we'd have to get one of those big cases. Foam cases and put them inside of there, you know.
Or just wrap it with. You'll take a little. We'll see. We'll rig some up. But I don't know. It might be a pretty neat effect, Dave. And also, let's plan on doing the pencil trick that we talked about as well.
Okay. We'll see if they're interested in that.
And I've been looking for the balls. They haven't made the.
Yeah, like I was telling Steve, though, I think they're kind of done with that, you know.
I do, but that's nice for us to have wherever we go, you know.
Yeah.
To have one.
Mike Simpson says, wishes us the best, Arnett. He'll be hosting at Mansfield. So.
Very cool.
I'm
still working on trying to gain my strength in that. Made a little progress, I think. Wish I could say I made more. I don't know what's going on. But it wasn't too bad. At least I got the pain in control right now, so.
Pam should be calling in shortly.
While we're killing a little time, I'm going to post something on our site. I thought it might be pretty interesting for pique the interest of our followers. The Freiberger Academy, which is involved with paranormal research, and this goes back to 2002, and I think they're still collecting data.
No, but I get paper in there.
Came out with an exceptional questionnaire involving paranormal experiences. I'm just trying to weigh it down, and it said here.
I don't understand that. I don't mean to cut you off, but this glass was the only thing I put in here was ice. I have no idea how that paper got in there. And it wasn't in there when I came down here.
No. I haven't been over at your desk.
Well, no, I was watching those videos about. I mean, this is hard plastic. This is like. This looks like it was taken off one of the bags of salt you put in the well.
Does.
That is so bizarre.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, let me see that. Just for anybody who can't see it, I just found this floating in my water. It was not there when I poured my water. And it looks like a piece of plastic ripped off one of the hard plastic bags that contains the salt we put in our water treatment system for the well water. So I don't have no idea. I have no idea how that got in there. It's very odd. Now, I was watching those videos. Remember what you were talking about last week about people listening to their stuff and it attaching them through that?
Yeah.
I was just watching videos I just was watching videos about Ed and Lorraine Warren and some of their investigations and some of the artifacts in their museum. So, I don't know.
Well, anyhow, let me read the first paragraph when it says, This study deals with the relationship between paranormal experiences, spirituality, and general physical and mental well-being. Previous research on this topic has not yet produced explicit results and findings, so it's still ongoing. Therefore, we've decided to conduct a larger questionnaire study. Time needed to complete the survey is about 30 minutes. If you take time to fill out the survey, it would be greatly benefit research of spiritual phenomena. And you have the address you can mail back to the University of Freiburg Clinical Center. So I'm going to post this or an access to this, but I'm going to just touch base on a couple of questions, give you an idea. It's a pretty neat cause of reflection. The one big questionnaire is basically part one, covers paranormal situations. In the following, you'll find different statements that describe such situations. You may find some that do not completely match your experience. In this case, please evaluate how you find it fits most. And it's two answers on that. Frequency of occurrence, in which case there's five things from never to very often, and all between rarely, often. And then there's assessments from very positive to very negative, and neutral and in between. So you, and to give an idea of a few of these, and most all this will hit.
Oh, there they are.
Oh, okay. We'll go on.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, Dave. What's up, buddy?
Not much. I apologize for having you hold for almost 2 minutes. I was typing a response and just didn't even look over the switchboard. I'm so sorry about that.
No, no problem. No problem.
Everybody watching, we have Pamela Berry, owner and operator of the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, as well as hostess with the Mostess over at the Historic Lookout House. We were just talking about you guys' grand reopening of the store next Saturday, and some of the things you guys were looking into as far as equipment rentals and things of that nature, and doing some sessions in the backyard area. Also, the upcoming joint investigation with us in Paranormal Inc. at the bed and breakfast on Saturday.
I am so looking forward to that. It's been so long since we've all been together as one unit, so it's going to be a blast.
We have, Pam, we got, you know, we always are trying to bring new toys to the investigation. So what we have for Saturday, I got a really neat 8-inch plasma ball. I mean, it's big, and it has
nice
music, and it also, it's sort of fragile. The crystal, that's the only thing, traveling, we're going to have to dig up something so it don't get busted. One of them, I ordered two, one of them did arrive totally shattered. But and they're replacing that. But it's a really neat, large bowl. The EMF and everything gets to rolling, and you can tell whether it's spirit or if somebody touches it, it actually creates trace lines over the ball and does, I mean, you can tell.
Oh,
and interacting. You can tell it sort of sets up a really neat visual presentation, but if anything interacts with it or if like someone would touch it, it literally creates tracings. And being 8 inches, it's very easy to see. It also has music that you can turn on or off. Of course, the music is meant to attract spirit. And, you know, at the Lookout
right.
House,
they love their music.
They love their music. So, We'll bring that Saturday. We'll see how that goes. And also, that experiment we talked about with the yes, no, and the pencils, we're going to bring that along as well.
Yeah. Can't wait
we'll
to see that.
So we're always looking to add a few new wrinkles to everything.
Exactly. So have
I
you
guess
guys
you
been
guys,
up to anything cool?
Not really. Dave's been working his butt off in school, literally. I mean, he's really been going at both ends. And we did have my son, and, you know, that you got to meet. We got him home safely. He had a really nice time. We did go up to Philadelphia in the Ben Salem portion to meet my nephew one day, and it was interesting. He's in an apartment complex there. As we got out, I really picked up this strong energy out in the parking area near one of the trash receptacles. And as we got in the house, the energies in the apartment were nice and neutral. So I told him there was nothing going on with the house. But as it turned out, that energies I was picking up out in the lot, they told me 2 years ago, a young woman had been murdered right there at the trash thing in the parking area. So, you know, me, I can pick up on the energies, but I can sort of discern if they're mischievous or something to avoid, but I really don't see the nature of it clearly. But that was, it was pretty intense. So that
very
was
cool.
That was interesting, yeah. And I want to thank you and Steve for, you know, allowing us some time, bring my son over. He loved your place. And
absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, that was very nice of you. I appreciate that.
Now, that was our pleasure.
So, as I was talking with Steve the other day, and you know, we had discussed that we thought I guess Spirit had just kind of had its fill of the ball and stuff like that. What do you think would be a new technique we might be able to use that would interest the spirits to want to communicate and really come out and display their abilities for us?
I'm not sure. We did pick up a new doll. So we'll try the doll experiment. I think it's just going to be hit and miss until we find something that they're interested in.
Because I know that the TV that happened up in the room, that was completely unexpected.
I heard.
Yeah, that was cool.
I think it was Jim Houston told me that the group. Afterwards, you had a group up there, and the TV came on for them a couple times as well.
Yeah, that was our last investigation. We did an experiment where we separated the group, and we were up in the attic. The other people were in the room, and I had just said, Spirit, could you turn the TV on, you know, for the people that are in there? And it did. It went on. And then the girls, we were all in one room up in the Americana suite, and we were all together. And what the girl who was staying in there said, hey, could you turn that TV on? It didn't come on right away, but maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, the TV went back on.
But the remotes were all away from everyone.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But separating the groups and having, like, that kind of experiment, asking, like, EVPs, you know, I would ask a question for them to get on their recorders. So that was pretty, that was cool.
You know,
Steve's here now, too.
I forget. I know. It was Kristen Lee last week. When she was on, she brought up an interesting thing, which that would be pretty neat, trying to gather some concrete stuff, where they were talking about, like when we're doing an EVP session sometimes, we're using the Phasma box, rather than coming out, like, you know, saying what you hear. She said sometimes they'll distribute like pen and paper or pencil and paper to everyone, and to have them like write down, like, if you know, a voice produces something, write rather than saying what they're hearing, write it down, and then
after the session compare it.
After the session, do a comparison, and just see, you know, how many answers are similar, and that way you get sort of a percentage. And I said, that's an interesting thought. I don't think
we've ever done that.
But, yeah, I think that's pretty neat. And then, because, you know, the theory behind all that is that this speech or what is being said in the paranormal field has a lower identity mode than regular speech. But you could see, for instance, if, say, 70% of the people agreed or thought that they heard the same thing, that's pretty significant. So that would be a pretty neat gauge, too, to see what we're picking up with the spirits and a means of gauging the clarity of what spirit's trying to tell us. So some interesting concepts.
Yeah.
And, of course, for the audience, the reason behind that is once someone comes out and says what they heard, then that is a pretty powerful persuasion tool for everyone else. So everybody often assimilates into the same thing. So this would be, it probably take us a while because we're so used to, you know, talking along. But certainly that, you could do that without interfering with the conversation with spirit, I think. And,
I think that's a good idea.
One other thing, too, is a family in my ward, for years I've known, the gift is very strong with them. Both the mother and father, very strong psychic connections. Their mother, the father's mother, also had the gift, and their daughter, who's an adult now, she's very strong with it. And for a long time, I was trying to get her to come along with us on a couple investigations. She lives here in the Chambersburg area. And with that, you know, she's done investigative work with some other outfits in the area. And her and another psychic, a few of the areas regularly, including that Indian massacre site down in the Greencastle area. They've done extensive investigations there. Well, it's strange how these things happen, but the other day my wife's getting her hair done, and just recently she had switched from the group that used to do her hair to this new group. Well, lo and behold, the gal doing her hair is this young lady, and she's wearing she's wearing her Shungite medallion, and my wife noticed, and so she's the one who brought it up, and she asked if, you know, I was still doing investigative work, and she said, yeah, and she said she'd love to get out with this locally. She has two children, but, you know, she can make arrangements with her mom and dad. So not this Saturday, but some point in the future, I'd love to bring her over to the Lookout House and see what she picks up on. The parents don't really work with it. They try to sort of suppress it, but she's more openly embraced it. And you know how that works. You know how people...
Yeah, and I'd like to go up there to Greencastle, too, and check that out one time with you.
Yeah, and I'll see what all she's picked up there. You know, that's where, and again for the audience, it was in the 1700s before the United States existed as a country. We were still a British colony. But this area in and around Chambersburg was sort of like a western, far west point, of which case, you know, it was very populated by local Indians. And there, I think it was Enoch Brown was the school teacher's name, and a group of Delaware Indians that was roaming as a war party in the area descended on this school. And the schoolmaster really was a hero. He tried to sacrifice himself for the sake of the children, but the Indians killed and scalped him and all of the other children. I think there were six all told. One of the children was able to escape, and he'd been partially scalped, and he was able to live. So there was one survivor of the massacre.
There's
county.
A book called The White.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
The county has erected a little statue commemorating the area and the event in a state park, a county park that they have there. And it's very woodsy and pretty much the way it was at the time of the event. So that's what occurred there. We've had several Indian attacks and massacres in and around between Chambersburg and Fort Loudoun. So for those interested, this is a hotbed of that kind of activity as well.
That truly interests me. So, we'll have to do a day trip.
Yeah. And then I know we had mentioned, I guess this is the big weekend with the coming up, not this weekend, but next weekend, opening up of the shop. And I know a lot of people are planning on coming. And, of course, we're wishing you the very best success in all of that. And it's an exciting new... Exciting new venture for you and Steve.
Yeah, 271 Baltimore Street. Day of opening, we're going to open at 12 o'clock, and Mark Nesbitt's going to be there signing some books, and we're all going to be there and christen the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange.
And we had mentioned also that something new this year is that the shop, you and Steve, are planning on having some equipment rentals for people visiting Gettysburg this year and stuff. Is that still on tap?
Oh, absolutely. When people come to do one of Mark Nesbitt and Carol Nesbitt's walking tours, they can come in the back, they can rent some equipment, they can go out, do their walk, and then return their equipment. As always, the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, as always, we buy, sell, rent, and trade. So if people have an older piece of equipment that still is in very good shape, they can trade it in and use some of, Steve will look at it and maybe give them some money back on their old piece of equipment that they can give towards a new piece of equipment. So we're helping the field to be able to grow their equipment. I mean, then that new piece of equipment goes into our rental case.
Very cool. Very cool.
I'm going to throw in here, too, Dave, in his learning and his course this year, he's becoming quite the handyman. He had a project that he just completed where we had a heating device where it wouldn't turn on anymore, and he was able to dissect it and go through the board, determine the problem, and was able to fix it. It was part of the project. So hopefully with some of his newly acquired skills, we may have somebody who's adept at perhaps fixing some of the equipment as it breaks. And I know he's planning on coming over early Saturday to take a couple projects on from Steve. So he's impressed. Yes, and it's a pretty neat acquired skill.
Hey, we might have a new equipment inventor in our midst.
Really?
And who is that?
Yeah. You, Dave.
Inventor? No.
Oh, inventor.
I can't invent. I can just repair.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't knock yourself. I don't know.
The Jim's already trying
Steve
to put me out. Look.
Steve has a 3D printer. He said, "Put your name on it, dude."
Hey, I'll take a look at it. What the hell? Scope and scale. I think that would win me first place. I think. My question to you, and I know it's as many times as we've been over to the Lookout House. I don't think I've ever actually just sat down with you guys and kind of talked about what you deal with on a daily basis. As far as, I think you'd agree. There's nothing there that's negative or harmful or anything like that. There's some mischievousness going on, but that's about it.
Right.
But my question would be, just on a day-to-day basis, what is it that the spirits of that house do the most that you seem to notice? Is it they always seem to open this one door, or they always seem to turn a light on, or what is the one thing that, here we go again, kind of everyday thing that you've seen them or you picked up on them doing?
Well, when we go to bed, there's somebody. Now, not everybody comes up into the mate's quarters because that's my bedroom, but there is somebody that is on those steps almost every night. And I was just talking to Tanya. By the way, it's Tanya's birthday. Everybody wish Tanya a very happy birthday. She's 21 today.
Oh, happy birthday, Tanya. 21 again, huh? Fantastic. Happy birthday.
But I was just FaceTiming her after we sang happy birthday to her, and I was on the steps, not touching that door, and it slammed. I don't know. So maybe we can get, maybe Jim has been wanting to sit on the back step session or something. Maybe we can coax him into doing that this weekend.
Not only that, the bathroom between the Darb and the Victorian, between the Darb and the Victorian, the bathroom there, that light always comes on in the bathroom. That one little light is always on. You shut it off, and then all of a sudden someone turns it back on.
Yeah.
And that's like next to the room where the Darb is. So I mean, the Victorian room is where TV comes on.
Right.
That is really weird. I'll get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom. I'm diabetic, of course, and I end up heading to go to the bathroom. And that light I know is off. It will be on.
And you're talking the one right at the end of the hallway between the Victorian your room, correct?
No, the one in the spa bathroom. If you go to the bathroom that's between the Darb and the Victorian room, the big bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, the one that crosses between the two rooms. Okay. The one with the fantastic
door
that I still have to try out.
Yeah, when you go through there, there's one switch that turns on just one light. It's like a little hallway light that connects both bedrooms. And that light will be on all the time. I'll shut it off, it'll come back on. Someone turns it back on. And it'll happen during the day, too, when Pam's not even here. I'll be here by myself. I'll go upstairs. I know I shut it off, and I'll be back on.
Wow.
So,
I don't know
why they want to put it on.
We might have to put a solo X in that bathroom facing the light switch.
Yeah.
And see if we can pick that up.
I think there's only one light switch that turns that on, too. I don't think there's two.
Huh.
The one on the other side turns that on? All right. So we'll need two solo X's.
Wow.
Or if not, I can put my camera on it.
Does it happen more often when someone's there? Or is it more often that you leave,
every
you know you've
day.
Turned off, about there and come back and it's on?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to run upstairs right now while Pam's talking to you, and I'm going to see if it's on.
Okay.
If it's on or off. Hold on.
Okay.
Because I know it's off. It's like turning off.
Okay.
I'm just going to go see if it's on.
Real quick. If it's on, I'll let you know.
Okay. Who's going upstairs to see if it's on? Or off?
So for the grand reopening next Saturday, any plans? Just kind of open it up and let people come in? Or did you have any special things going on maybe?
Wait a minute. What, hon? What's wrong? It's on? The light's on. We're going to have some door prizes. We're going to play some games, and just let everybody see the space. And I'm just excited to share it and for everybody to see our new venture. It's new, but it's the same ghost exchange. Same. What was it? Oh, really?
That would be in there. You came home, you haven't been up there all night. Unless this maybe Danny was up there.
I'll have to ask him.
Danny was here.
Yeah. New Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, new, but same, you know, personal experiences, same you know, the gathering place where investigators can come and have a cup of deadly ground coffee and, you know, share experiences and evidence.
Absolutely.
You know what might be pretty neat? It just came to mind. I don't know if you might also be, since you'll be doing the equipment rental for people going out and whatnot, and, of course, people coming in, especially for visitors to Gettysburg, you know, not so much the local, you know, our locals and your friends, we're always in the shop and stuff. We're always exchanging stories. But for people that are new to Gettysburg or going out, that would be really neat if somewhere you had a little box or that, and if they had an experience at Gettysburg, you know, something they saw, something they heard.
Write it down, and
yeah,
then when they return their equipment, drop it in the box.
And, yeah, you could be like a depository for people who've had an experience while doing the battlefield or wherever.
Cool idea.
I don't think there isn't anything like that now, is there?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I'm aware of. It could be like the ghost, you know, exchanging.
Yeah, I mean, it would tie right in the name because it's not just the exchange as far as equipment exchange, but experience exchange.
Experience, yeah, that could be really neat. And who knows? I mean, not to compete with Mark. I know he's always writing the Ghost of Gettysburg's book.
Yes.
But that might even be something that might interest him or you two. You guys could all collaborate on
a
collection of experiences that people have had
Next time he pens a book about Gettysburg, maybe he finds a specific story in there that interests him, and he could contact that person and get it.
Yeah, you know, the biggest problem's always been in this field is individuals or even groups, as we go out, as we accumulate evidence and all that, when we grow tired of it or get old or get sick or stop, that information just is gone.
Yeah.
It gets lost.
Right.
And I know we've always been looking at some kind of central depository of information. Not that this would be all-inclusive, but it would be a neat start. And Gettysburg, you know, we all know stuff happens every day there.
Well, what if you buy that... That place in Indiana for $200,000 and make that your central bank,
storage bank. Did you see that place I posted? It was an old asylum with, I think, 6.5 acres and stuff. God, if we weren't just doing so much infighting in this community, we could actually probably make a serious bid getting some place like that. Something will happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught, Steve Hummel just posted, they had a place like that in West Virginia, and it just went over the wall.
Just got demolished. Yeah.
There'd been a couple historians and all that trying to save it, but I guess they were just behind the eight ball. So, you know, we lose so many valuable assets like that.
You know, honestly, I don't know about you, Jim, but this is something that would actually interest me. If it was something Pam and Steve and Mark were okay with, maybe set up maybe once a month or once every other month or something, go over there and just host an evening at the exchange, and people just come and we could speak on the stories of the places we've been in and around Gettysburg and hear other people who want to show up and tell their stories and stuff like that and get you some walk-in business that way.
Years ago, when Dave and I were pretty much doing the fields of Gettysburg, that was our basic spot, we were meeting my sister Jenny that you've met. Up there at that public parking lot near Jenny Wade House to go out that evening. And she got there before us, and here they were having one of those antique road things up on the lot. They had the cars for the cars, so they had the antique cars there. And one of the gentlemen was talking to my sister, And she told him how she was meeting her brother and we were going to go out on the fields that evening. And he related a story that had just happened to him on that day. And he was coming in with his antique car to go on the parking lot and be involved with that when he saw four Confederate soldiers dart in front of him on what is it? It's the avenue where Friendly's is.
Steinway.
The Steinway Avenue. These four Confederate soldiers darted right in front of his car. And he says he slammed on the brakes and he was like sickeningly listening for a thud and nothing happened.
Right.
And he parked, the car got out, and nobody was there. But this is broad daylight now. Like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. But he says he saw them clear as a bell. There were four Confederate soldiers in uniform, and they darted right in front of his car.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that kind of stuff happens on a fairly routine basis in Gettysburg.
Yes, Steve saw somebody back at Saks Bridge crossed right in front of our car and another truck, and Steve, and the truck had been stopped. It was in a like a little minor accident on the other street, and Steve thought that he hit someone, and the guy was like, no, I hit a deer down the street. And Steve's like, didn't you see that person? And the guy's like, no.
My wife, who doesn't really get that involved with me, we were out at Saks Bridge one time, and it was around dusk. It was still plenty light, but it was, you know, because the darkness was coming on, and we were on the bridge, and we were just standing at the one end looking out, and as we're coming back to the near side, here come this couple. It was an older man and an older woman. And they're dressed in period dress. You know, the
right.
woman with the hoop skirts and all that stuff. And they come right past us. They walk right past us about midway on the bridge. And we get to the other side. And when we turn around, they're gone.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I mean, unless they put on jets, I have no idea where they went. But that, you know, that was like, what?
You know what, though? My most vivid one was when we went to Triangular Field. And it was me and you and Jenny. Sean was there. And there was two or three other people. I don't remember who it was, but I know it was at least seven or eight of us. And we were leaving. And remember,
oh, yeah.
we were climbing over the stone wall that used to border.
Where they had the stone wall with the tree.
Right,
and
there was
fence.
A giant oak tree. And just as we got up to that tree area on the side of the stone wall that is Triangular Field, a man dressed in colonial period dress stepped out from behind it and said, time to leave, folks. And we all saw him.
Yeah.
All of us. And we just assumed that it was a park ranger, but in period dress, as if maybe he was also a reenactor. And we said, okay, and I stepped over that wall. And it's nothing for me to step over that wall.
It
took about two or three or maybe 5 seconds for me to get over this wall. And I turned around, and this guy is gone. None of us saw him leave. There were no headlights or no taillights on a car pulling away, nobody running away or anything like that. We all eight of us saw him, and we're like, where the hell did this guy just go? And then a park ranger came down and said, yeah, it's time to leave, folks. And we said, who was it that you just sent down here to tell us that? We already know. He said, I didn't send anybody. Like, well, somebody just came down here and told us that, and we all saw him, but this person was gone in a blink of an eye.
That place is well back, you know, into the field of battle, that area. And there was no other cars. Ours was the only car.
Ours and then the ranger.
And the ranger coming up. But that... Yeah,
he was solid.
It
wasn't a form that you could see. This guy was solid. If I didn't know any better, I would have reached out and grabbed his arm to help myself over the wall. That's how solid he was. So, what do you want to do? Like, what is your main try this Saturday night?
I think we're going to take, we have two, the one pie table, I think we're going to take that we used to do table tipping with. I think we're going to switch it. We have another one, and we're going to give it a go and see if maybe we can table tip with the other table.
Okay. And I don't know if you saw, I know you just joined, and thanks for joining in. I had posted a comment saying that something I would like to do Saturday, I would like to just go into a room separate from everybody, and maybe we'll take a little bit, maybe a 10 or 15 minute time frame or something where everybody does it. But I would just like to just pick a room in the house and just go there and just sit and just take a piece of paper and a pencil and just sit there and just feel the room and see, you know, if I get any sense, any feelings of anything, and just write down, you know, and see if I anything and write it down, and then I'll come back and show it to you and see if it makes any sense to you guys as far as the activity that's been reported in that room.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Let's try that.
What about you, Jim? What do you think you'd like to do the most Saturday?
Assuming
you can make it.
I do want to try to get those back stairs and run something by myself there and just see what I can hook up with. And then a couple of these new experiments we talked about, that would be neat.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the pencil thing.
Okay, well, we'll give it all a go. And, you know, I'm sure Ernie and Dave have got a few things they'd like to try as well, so we'll give it a go and see how it turns out.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We're always excited to come and see you guys. So it's always a good time. Even if we're not investigating, it's a good time.
Absolutely, I agree.
We appreciate it so much. Last second, kind of gave you a buzz and saw see if you were available tonight. We appreciate you making some time. And
I'm glad that you asked.
If you want to go ahead and give out the address to the store and website for the store and the lookout house and everything, and just plug away. Let everybody know where this thing's at, because everybody that's going to take the time to make a trip to Gettysburg should go check out both.
Okay. So our grand opening is March the 7th, and our new address is 271 Baltimore Street. We are located with Mark and Carol Nesbitt. So come and do a tour and get some equipment. The historic lookout house is 1159 Center Mills Road in Aspers. We're about 10 miles outside of town. We are booking up fast for the upcoming season. So if anybody is interested in getting some accommodations, you know, go on Airbnb, check us out, look at the pictures. If you're thinking about coming in October, we are probably halfway booked in October already, so don't hesitate. Get your rooms now.
Oh, and also I wanted to ask you, are you already fully booked the weekend of the bash?
We are not. We're not sure what we're going to do that weekend. That's another thing let's plug. Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, July 24, 25, 26. It's at the 95 Presidential Circle in the Wyndham, the beautiful Wyndham. We are not sure what we're going to do. We kind of have that weekend block. We know that Jack Ken is going to be doing some experiments. So that's kind of up in the air.
Gotcha.
And then give the date for the bash.
Correct?
Very good.
No, 24, 25, 26.
25th, 26th of July.
Okay.
That will be at the Gettysburg Wyndham, which is a beautiful, fantastic place. You've got the whole ballroom this year, don't you?
We do. Again, and if anybody wants tables, we do not have any more tables with electricity. That being said, if somebody's listening and they're like, oh, my God, Pam promised me a table with electric, I have it, you know. But for anybody who I haven't promised electricity at their table, they are all spoken for. So right now tables are without electricity.
I know we've got problems. Cisco, I think we've got coming back this year. We've been
we've got, and so
you know, she always brings so much to the table. So we're really glad to have her this year. And we've got, again, for we haven't decided what we're doing exactly with it, but we also have the Stevens House for the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of the Bash Dates. And we're doing one of our live shows from the backyard of the Stevens House on that Thursday. So,
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we're trying to, we'll all be working and raising some funds for
some
for
pretty
good
charities.
Cause, yeah.
And they added the autism this year, so that's cool.
Right.
And don't forget, if you can make it, we'll be there. Pam and Steve is going to be there. Obviously, they created the whole damn thing. You're going to have Kendra's husband, Robert, with his art. You're going to have Kendra and Kayla with Hot Reiki Mamas. Danny Marie of Lovely Vibes Reiki. I mean, it's just anybody who's anybody needs to be there because it's such a good thing, and it does such a great thing for sick children and Pennsylvania Wounded Warriors and now autism. It's really worth the time. I mean, was it, what is it, $10, $20 gets you the whole weekend?
$20 gets you the whole weekend. Oh, and and the weekend of our grand opening, Hot Reiki Mamas are taking appointments. So if anybody wants to try Reiki, get a hold, go on Hot Reiki Mama and get an appointment. I'm sure they're going to be taking walk-ins too.
Yeah, I might be me and Jim. Hon, I'm wearing my Shungite. I'm drinking Shungite water. So I think I'm going to give it a Reiki, too. I mean, just, God, anything I can do. I'm going to a gene cloning thing this upcoming week. I just, I don't know what the hell's going on. It's not an acute illness, but it's just really drawing on my energies and my physicality. So I'm working hard to bust it. I just don't know what the hell's going on.
You know what? Maybe we can, maybe we can convince Danny Marie to show up next weekend as well. And then I'll let Jim have the Hot Reiki Mamas because he probably needs a double dose more so than I would need any. And see what me with.
There you go.
Well, thanks so much again, Pam. We really appreciate you guys taking the time, and we can't wait to see you guys on Saturday.
Thanks again, hon. We look forward to seeing you.
We love you guys. All right.
All right. Have fun, and we will talk to you in 2 days.
All right.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right. Very cool. A lot of good information. And welcome in, Amy. How have you been? Thanks for joining. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by tonight. We really appreciate it. We just hit, and I said to Jim the other day, and I just haven't really had time to go into any detail, but I want to say it was a day or two after last week's show, we hit 1,500 followers on our Facebook page. And that for us is, I can't even put into words how cool that is. That's 1,500 different people that found what we do and the things we talk about interesting enough to want to see more. And to follow us and watch our live feeds and the shows and things like that. We've actually had a few that have actually come to events like the Bash, like Linda Bird did, specifically to meet us. And that is so crazy. It's kind of like, I don't know if anybody knows this, but when you're an actor and you're on stage and you bow and the audience applauds you, what you're really doing is they're applauding themselves. And if you read into it, there's a whole explanation of why that is. And to me, those 1,500 people that took the time to follow our page and like us and follow our exploits and our shows and our and live feeds and everything, I'm applauding you because it really means a lot in today's world where everybody is so busy and things are moving so fast and everything is done right now and online and right away, that people took the time to stop and slow down a bit and just check us out. It really means a lot. Hopefully it keeps going. Hopefully there's bigger and better. Hopefully we can get this bear off Jim's back and get him back to a semblance of good health. And I'll be done with school May 1st. And assuming I do what I'm supposed to do and I pass that, you guys are going to have one hell of a good week of live feeds coming sometime in June, because I'll be going out to the west, out to Carson City and a Donner Pass and places like that, the old Washoe Hotel. And we're going to have a hell of a good live feeds out there. So
That'll be real interesting for everyone. That'll be great.
All you have to do is convince Haley to let me Mr. T her and knock her out before we put her on a plane like Mr. T and the A-Team so you can get her ass out there with us. So, but we want to thank everybody for stopping by. We really appreciate it. Once again, check our Facebook page Saturday for the live feeds from the investigation. And check out our website, which is www.keystotheunknown.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. So you can reach us all through there. And I really want to talk to Pam and Steve Saturday about that idea at the shop. I think it would be really cool every Saturday night, every other Saturday night or something, have a forum, you know, tell our stories, have people come in, maybe $5 a head, that covers their coffee and stuff like that, and we'll just share stories and have a good time. I think that would be really cool. So, but thanks everybody for stopping in, and we will see you next week. Well, we'll see you Saturday at the investigation, and then we'll see you next week on Doorway to the Dead. So thank you, and have a great evening.
That was a good idea to get them. Thanks, Dave. Wow, look, they're even there.